Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 265, part 2, the conclusion to self. Today is Sunday, November 4th, 2012.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last. For the times, they are a-changing.
I mean, the preacher could stumble on stage. It wouldn't make no difference if God was there. He could be a clown. It wouldn't make no difference if God was there. His expressions could be out of order. It wouldn't make no difference if God was there. Because you know what? They'll reach my heart every time. If I come in there, I'm not busy looking at the preacher. I'm not busy looking at the way he delivers things. Now, I realize my method of delivery is very unorthodox. But that doesn't matter. If God's in it, and God's work is being done, God is going to anoint it, and God is going to bless it. It isn't that you put on the tie. It isn't that you slick your hair and spray it so if someone bumped into you, it'd break. It isn't that you have them shiny black shoes on. It isn't that you dye your hair all black so you look like you got the black-blue sickness. It isn't any of those things. It's not for show. That's all right, too. If you do that and you got a heart for the Lord, it doesn't matter. No, I don't care how out of order that preacher is. If the Spirit of God is in that church, it doesn't matter how he delivers. And even if he is half dead, I'm still affected because I'm looking to God, the author and finisher. I'm not looking to a man. Oh, how many come and listen to a tune, or even tune in on this radio program to gratify their curiosity, to regale, let's say, their ears, or to find a conversation piece, or something to debate about. A lot of times people listen and they'll call on the phone. I would just like to bring up a point here, Pastor, and they want to argue on the phone. I say, you know what? I really don't want to argue about that. I really care if you agree with it or not. It doesn't really matter. You could be right, you could be wrong, it doesn't matter. Bible says, let God be true, and all men are liars. And so when we talk to one another in regards to God, we're all kind of, in a way, liars. We're judging from a seat of liars. That's why we can't judge anybody. And so I said, right now, I'm stirring the soup. I don't have time to debate and to argue and get into lengthy discussions about your particular type of doctrine. Are you hearing this tonight? And so let's really deal with this now. Let's slay this time waster. Isn't it true anyway that some of you do not use the day of rest and the house of prayer for the real purpose, which is that man should go and meet God? And so many people are tuned in on their Sunday morning favorite. And I think it's all right for shut-ins and all of that to watch TV and their favorite on TV. But how about coming down and putting up with us, sweaty old people? You won't have to dust us off like you do the TV. Of course, you won't be able to eat Frito-Lay chips and dip and lay in bed and argue while the program's going on and fall half asleep. You'll have to come down and you'll have to put up with your sweaty neighbor, with his faults and with his sins. And maybe, how can you hug a TV anyway? Liable to get electrocuted. And I really think God has a purpose in everything. Maybe there'll be more people on Sunday mornings, at least in the suburbs, going to church. Don't you think that'd be nice? Wouldn't that be picturesque to the bells are ringing and, you know, ding dong, ding dong. And little girls in their little dresses are on. Huh? You know, husband's dressed up and the wife's dressed up and they all go to church. Maybe they even walk to church. Well, that's doubtful. But I mean, they somehow get to church. Wouldn't that be nice? I think so. Maybe actually go out there and see real people, four-dimensional. I mean, you know, TV is just a flat thing there. I mean, you could actually grab a hold of an arm, some substance. Huh? Won't that be nice if we get back to the simple things? Huh? Be nice if they had a blackout for a couple of months and all the TVs were just, something happened to the TVs. And people actually had to get involved with one another. You know, a lot of times people only know what they know from what they know when they watch TV. That's all they know. Do you know what I seen on the Phil Donahue show? That's just a great big garbage pit anyway. I mean, you know, you sit and listen to that all day, you'll get warped for sure. I watched him one day on there, and it's almost as bad as some of the Christian shows that are on now. Some of those are worse. At least on the World program, they don't kill each other right before everybody's eyes, then walk over and give them a kick to see if they'd move it. Oh, he's dead, I guess. Hit him again. Jump on him! Huh? But anyway, Phil Donahue show, or shows like that, that would be a nicer way of putting it, wouldn't it? Huh? And people will watch that. And you know what I found out about shows like that? They can say anything. How many are for the police? And everybody goes, yay! How many want to see the police go down? Yay! And anything he says, he just, it's like he holds up a cue card. Yay. Nay. They'll do anything on that, on them kind of programs. They're crowd manipulated. And so many people, so many times, want to go along with the crowd because they wouldn't dare. The crowd would turn around. What do you mean, nay? You're supposed to say yay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Huh? And they're so afraid to get outside of what's popular. What is popular? Killing people? Keeping people out of heaven by telling them they got to keep a particular type of doctrine or they'll all go to hell? I don't think there's enough room in hell for some of the preachers. They put too many in hell already. I think that there's no way they could get them all in there. How many hearing this? You take any powerful man of God and whatever he said, that'll hook up. Mm-hmm. And then he could just say the opposite. Oh yeah, that's right too. And then, oh yeah, that's right too. And there's people that you can manipulate them any way you want to. They're dumb as sheep. You can tell them anything. Don't believe it. And you know why? A lot of times they're fearful. They're afraid to stand up on their hind woolly legs and dare to be a little different and say, oh, I don't care what that person did. I forgive them. That's what the Word of God says. If I don't have mercy, I'll receive no mercy. And if I don't forgive, and the Bible says, the Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. How do you forgive others? Halfway? Well, that's how you'll be forgiven, halfway. You'll be hanging in limbo, Jack, or Jill, or Fred. You got to watch it because, you know, people are pretty sensitive. How do you forgive people? Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. I'll give them 40%. Then you only get 40%. You're like, how do you forgive? With unconditional? Well, that's how you want to be forgiven. I don't want conditions on my forgiveness. Guy says, why do you always preach mercy, Pastor? I said, I need it. Is there anyone here that doesn't need mercy? Bible says we all need mercy. And if it wasn't for a merciful God, no one would make it. Are you hearing this? Ooh. And then some come to church this way. They think they come to worship the Lord, but they have no enjoyment in His presence. Well, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying this at all. Why did I even come? I hate coming to church. I really do. I hate it. You know what? They'd have no communion with His Son. They don't want to enter in. No indwellings of His Spirit. Oh, but they say, but still, all in all, it was an enjoyable visit. Praise God. I made it through. Huh? You know what this proves? It proves that they did not go to worship God at all. They found fault with everything that went on in that service, from the usher, gave them the wrong seat. You know, I always sit four seats back, and here someone was sitting. You know, there's people that actually get mad. They go to church, and there's certain seats they sit in. If someone, did you ever notice that? And they sit in certain seats. And someone's sitting in a seat, they'll walk right up, and they'll go. And they'll look at the usher, and it's my seat. It's like they cannot even get into it unless it's they get into that seat. So they go up and they sit in another seat, see? And all the time they're sitting there. Oh, I can't have no fun in this seat. It's the other seat. Did you notice that he let that person sit there? Usher let that other person? Yes, I did, darling. But let's just grin and bear it right now, okay? Turn around and smile at him. Did they come to worship God? No. They came to be seen of man and sit in their same seat. There they are. You can always count on them coming. They're in their same seat. They've been there for 40 years. What have they done for 40 years? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I used to hear this brother. He'd get up every time. Praise God. And he'd said it for 30 years. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. Now I thought, well, that's good and everything, but he never has a testimony. I'm glad that I'm saved. And he'd sit down. And I thought, well, that's a real nice testimony, and I suppose I shouldn't come against that, but shouldn't he have a testimony about what he did for God after he got saved? He's been getting up for 30 years. I'm glad that I'm saved. And then, boy, could he ever sing that song when they say, oh, gee, but I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm saved. Boy, he would just sing that like everything. And I thought to myself, what have you done since you've been saved? That'd be like your kid living with you and getting up every morning until that he was old and gray or bald like me or whatever. Oh, gee, I'm glad I was born. Wouldn't you get sick of him? We'd probably even say to yourself, man, I'm sure not glad you were born. That's the way God looks at it. I mean, you know, you can be glad you're around, but what good are you whilst you are around? Yeah, see, this proves that they did not go to worship God at all. And when the question comes, did ye at all times fast unto the Lord? Their answer must be, no, we only sought self. We did not seek the Master's presence. I didn't come to church to seek God at all. That'd be honest, wouldn't it? And then we have others who think they worship God acceptably when they merely go as a matter of custom. Well, it's Sunday. Must go to church. Get the box ready! It's time to go to church! Come on! Sort of like, move it, move it, move it! Isn't that pile show? What is that guy's name? Ernie Pyle or Gomer? Gomer Pyle. Move it, move it, move it! And the kids are jumping around there, you know. And some of them are about as smart as Gomer Pyle, too, you know. That's what we think of them. That's what we say to them. Then you give them a real good, you are the dumbest kid I've ever known in my whole life. So the kid goes to church with that in his mind. I can't learn nothing. I'm the dumbest kid, and my dad is an expert on dumb kids. And I'm the dumbest kid he ever seen in his whole life. And he has to grow up with that. He has to grow up with it. You are the dumbest kid that God ever created. Oh, God, why did you stick me with this child? And they have to go to church that way. And you sort of put your whole family in the position of, we gotta go to church. And they wake up in the morning and they roll over and they happen to remember it's Sunday. Oh my God, it's Sunday. And people even say that. I hate Sundays. Praise God, it's Friday night. Praise God, it's Saturday. Oh, I hate Sundays. There's never nothing to do.
Well,
What's your excuse for the rest of the week? Or they go there because it looks good. It's respectable to go to church. You all get ready? Okay, get in the back seat. Open the door for the wife. Take a look, see if the neighbor's watching. Close the door. Get in. Pull your pants up. Sit down in the car. Okay, we're going to church. Don't look in the rear view mirror. Junior's looking at you. Back the car out. Drive it to church. Get out because it's respectable to go to church. It looks good. You know what else? It's good for business. Yeah, he is a God-fearing man, and he goes to church every Sunday. Doesn't that take a lot of guts? He never misses church. He gives God 1 hour a week. I mean, he's faithful. If anybody goes to heaven, it's going to be that man. Tell you that. Yeah. When that collection plate comes around, I always tell people, I say, hey, if you're only going to throw a quarter in, wrap it up. It makes me nervous when it hits the bucket, okay? And so they go and they put on their best and they enter church with the multitudes. Oh, my. See, if you go as a matter of custom, do you think that God really accepts your worship? Isn't it a waste of time? Be like going to school and then sleeping through the whole thing. Huh? Sleep through the whole thing. Do you think God accepts that kind of worship? See, you'd rather obey your neighbors and look good than obey God. And so you can go to church and fit in. Some people can fit into any church. Oh, we visited the popery, or we visited Muhammad and Buddha and Yogi and Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons. And they can go any place. It's kind of like they're looking for transactions, business transactions. Might as well put a sign on one of these signs which says "Eat at Joe's" on each side if they have a business. Or a garage, get your car fixed at smoke, and they're passing out their cars like they're going crazy. And it's even worse when people get into, whole churches get into Shackley products. And of course, then a lot of times the preacher is the head guy. He's the three diamond studded, whatever they have, pyramidal type things, and they tell you, now see if you have this one and that one, and then you get this one in there, and then you get this one, you get that one selling, this one selling, and then you got a cluster over here of diamonds, and a cluster over here of diamonds, and then you got a ruby up here, and huh? So everybody in the church goes to pass off their Shackley products, and their Amway products, and their Amsoil products, and their powdered milk products. And it's a great big business deal. Pastor, will you pray for me? I've got the worst headache. Try this Shackley number Z7. That'll do it. I'd pray for you, but might be too big a dose with a Z7. Might blow your top of your head right off. That's what it looks like to God. I ain't kidding you a bit. You hearing this, God? That's the way it is. So people go to church because it's good for business. Huh? One time, you remember, Deb? When I first got saved and I didn't want to go to church by myself, and I went to every church. Here's one on Wednesday night. Here's one on Thursday. Here's one on Tuesday. And I dragged Debbie along. I said, come on, we're going in here. And we got inside, and I didn't know it was a real exclusive church. So I went in and I thought, well, we're going to learn the Word of God tonight, Deb. Let's go in there and this was going to be great. And I was so hungry to hear about the Word of God. You know, We got in there and I said, boy, these people look kind of fancy. And they had fur coats on and there was candles all the way down the aisles. It never dawned on me until we got up to the front. It was one of these late weddings. We got up there and it said, were you invited? I said, you mean we have to be invited to come into this church? He said, this is a wedding. But while I was standing there, all these people were talking business deals, and they were talking about, you know, their Mercedes Benzes and all this. And actually, they were just in there for business. And I thought, gee, I don't want to hear about all their Mercedes Benzes and all their business deals and all of that. I came out of that, and I want to hear something about God, see? And I was getting out, well, we can't leave now. That would be disrespectful. But God took care of that because the guy wouldn't let us in. Thank you, Lord. I went out of there. I had a red face, but I went out of there. God, I got out of there. Do you remember that, Debbie? It was about 14 years ago. Never forget it. And these people were all talking about, well, you know, in the stock market and so on like that. It was a regular business transactions going on right there. What'd you say that guy's name was? And what's your broker's name? it was like they were at the, you know, a front for a horse racing or something. You know what I mean? Where there's a flower shop in the front, and you open up a door, and a flap opens up. Who is it? Joe sent me. Okay, come on in. And they're on the charts there where the horse races and so on. These guys are writing down. Oh, 5 will get you 10, 10 will get you 20. Okay, all right, okay. Now, they were going through this thing while they were waiting to get into church. I thought, boy, this sure is not a God, I'll tell you. This is a whole lot of pretending to worship. It doesn't mean a thing. Woo, are you hearing this tonight? And so some go as a matter of profit. And isn't that detestable? When we go as a matter of profit, I mean, some people, they move into town and they call up and they say, well, let's find out what is the most profitable church to go to. Let's drive through their parking lot and we'll check out to see how many Cadillacs are in there. And we'll check it out to see if everything is in shape and it's all blacktopped and the lines are in there just right. And the church is a high steeple church and it's full of cars in there, you know. And the houses around there look just right. And it's a planned situation for a kill. I mean, it's a move-in for a business situation. Do you think God listens to their worship when they get in there? You know how many people go to churches like that? The majority of people go to churches like that. Churches, they call, that are on a move. But what kind of movement? Is there anything happening there? Or is there just business deals going on? Do you think that is acceptable? No, I think it's detestable. So now what are they going to do but go on pretending to worship God? Well, if that's the reason, you might as well take a mannequin and put it in your place. At least the mannequin's eyes are open. You know, if the mannequin's wig fell off and an arm come unscrewed, nobody'd know the difference anyway. They're so wrapped up in their self, they wouldn't even notice. You could even put a cardboard preacher up and turn a tape recorder on. And this cardboard preacher could be up there. How many have ever been to the Black Hills and they have this Lincoln? You ever been out to Black Hills and they have Lincoln that talks? Or is that in California? It's California and they have Lincoln and he goes through his thing. And you could have some kind of a mannequin thing there, see? And it could go through all the actions and nobody would even know it was a mannequin up there doing the thing. Pretty sad, ain't it? That's how they look at people when they're hungry, too. I mean, they overlook them. It's like they're not there. They just kind of overlook them. It's kind of like they have not blinders on the side, blinders like this, so they see over. They don't see down. They see up. They don't see them. Do you know people don't even venture into the north side? They lock all of their cars, all their doors when they go by. They fly over. They go around. They will drill a hole to go under, but they'll never go through. Why? Why is that? Why is that, you know, you might need a camp, and there's probably camps all over, and the suburbs got these camps, and the kids in the suburbs, they don't want to go to camps anymore. A lot of them don't. Oh, no, camp. It's the truth, isn't it? Why, are you against the kids in the suburbs? No. Sure, it would be nice if we could use them camps, though. Even if it was in December. We'd be willing to drill holes so we could get a crappie or a walleye. Just so we could use them beds or use the facilities or something. And I shopped all over, and there is no one that wants to take the kids, and I can understand that. They don't want to take kids from the north side and put them in a camp situation. And then we have the loaves and fishes crowd, the prosperity hounds. Oh, what a sweet preacher. I mean, actually, little jewels of wisdom drop from his mouth. I mean, it's so profitable to go to a preacher prosperity. Ooh, I'll tell you. Ooh, and these people only pretend to delight in the Word of God, only when it's something that will do them some good. They're all pretenders. I think they should have them sing that song. Oh, yes. We're the great pretenders. Pretending we believe God is around. We suspect He is. For our businesses. Pretending that we worship God. And people will go all over to these hyper-faith messages and these prosperity teaching messages, and they'll travel all over on to find out the secret of using the Word of God to get rich. Now, I think this is despicable in the sight of God. He doesn't want nothing to do with it. Are you hearing this? See, it's kind of like if you have a dog and you have meat in your hands, this dog will follow you around. You'll say, look how this dog loves me. Look at him. He's just shaking. He's wiggling all over. Oh, he loves me. Do you love Daddy? Do you love Daddy? Some people even think their dogs talk. Do you love Daddy? Do you love him? And then they're carrying this meat around, see? You know what happens when that dog eats that meat? He gets it down, he licks the chop, and he looks up with bored eyes. He ain't got nothing more for him. Turns around, walks away from you. That's the way it is with these prosperity hounds. You can't give them nothing. Hard times come to these prosperity hounds. They're going to be the most sorriest looking dogs you ever want to look at. They'll just totally drop right out of the picture like none of this ever even existed. It's happening right now. Do you think that's worshiping the Lord? I don't think so. Well, I'll answer a question here in closing, because I know there's people that want to hear this. And God will ask, did ye all fast unto me, even unto me? Did ye not eat unto yourselves and drink unto yourselves? Did you think that you could be meritoriously saved? Did you actually think you could do something of yourself to be born again? There is nothing you can do by yourself to warrant being born again. You receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now we got to preach gospel. And God works it out. Because all of your works will not win you heaven. All of your reasonable service. The Bible says your reasonable service is to give your life. Yes, your life. So don't worry about giving your fair share. So many people are worried about giving their fair share, and the Bible says, give your life. Give your life to gain your life. And so some men have done great things. And we admire them for doing those good things, but if they didn't do it as unto the Lord, it doesn't mean a single solitary thing is what I'm saying here tonight. That's like someone singing for the king. And all the time they're singing into a mirror. And so they get all done singing and they say, King, I'd like to have my pay now. And the king says, no, you sang for yourself. I'm not going to give you anything. You did it out of pride. So now you're not going to get 1 cent from me. Thou hast done well enough in the eyes of man. But so much the worse because you did it only to thyself, that your own praises might be sung and your own name be lifted up. And so in Hosea we read, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. And so many times we'll bring forth fruit and it'll be unto ourselves, and God says, it doesn't mean a thing. And so people get into splits, and churches all over, and TV evangelists all over, and churches all over are getting into these splits because of pride, because someone offended them, because someone wanted the glory, someone got their feelings wounded, a message challenged them. And so they waddle out of churches by the dozens, all in the name of God. You know, and it gets me because you'll see after that half of the church splits, they'll put new or reformed on there. The new so-and-so church or the reformed so-and-so church, and they ought to put up there the new bigoted church or the prejudiced church or the prideful church or the new resentful church or the unforgiving church or the hateful church, and just be honest about it. We hated each other so much we split. We're going to be the prideful ones, and we're going to be the hateful ones. Well, they're known of men. Did you ever notice that, though? The new Reformed church. Reformed from what? Or the southern this, or the northern that? What's that mean? Oh, we're of the northern persuasion. Oh, we're the southern persuasion. Let's put our souls here, this last minute I'm going to preach. Put our souls on the scales for a little self-examination. What have I done for Christ since I was saved? And dare we take on Paul's words, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain? Dare we take on those words? No, see, people, it isn't what we have done so much as what the object was of what we were doing. It says, for every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the heart. And so many times we'll look at a person and we'll say, there's no way that person ever could be saved. But we don't know that person's heart. Have we in our hearts longed to serve Him? Well, a person told me the other day, well, I'd really like to do something, but I'm so poor. I really have nothing to give. Well, I said, well, give your life. Just give your life to God. And if you can say, in closing tonight, if you can say, I didn't desire my own honor. I was content to be humble. I was content to be obscure and unknown and forgotten so that I might lift him up and make him glorious before men, will then great. Check yourself out tonight. How's your pride? How's your self-preservation? And let us all realize in closing and cry out and know that all of our righteousnesses are but filthy rags. You listening on the radio, if you're going to come to Jesus, it says now is the accepted time. Now is the hour to come to the Lord. Come as you are. I mean, you're a prostitute, you qualify. You're a sinner. You're an alcoholic, well, you qualify. See, the only ones that qualify to come to Christ are sinners. When you get to heaven, you know what you're going to find up there? A whole lot of sinners saved by Jesus. And all of them self-righteous clucks aren't going to be up there. They won't be there. I don't care. They can be preachers. They can be evangelists. They can be everything. But if you're in their legal stem, if they do make it in, they'll be in there with one hit. They'll be last. It says those that think they're going to be first will be last, and those that think they're going to be last will be first. Why is that? Because the Bible says so. And if we're going on the assumption that we have something because we're legal and we're keeping a certain amount of laws, that's works, and it won't get us in. It won't do a single solitary thing for you. It's what's in your heart. It's how much forgiveness and mercy and grace you show other people that's going to count in high heaven. That's what's going to count when you get to heaven. What have you done for the cause of Christ, and how much mercy did you have? And if you didn't have any mercy, were you able to just go ahead and admit it? And that's admitting it means that you know and realize that you need mercy. Isn't that a simple message? That doesn't crowd people. That doesn't keep them out of the kingdom of heaven. It encourages people. I'm encouraged. Every day I come down here, I am more and more encouraged. I mean, it's just one miracle after another just to keep us in here. It's a miracle that we are surviving this. Well, take a look around. Sure, there's a huge crowd here tonight. But they don't give much money. It's a miracle. It really is. When you stop and think of all the work that's going on down here, to realize this ministry down here, which is now the largest in the nation per consistent bag giveaway. See, I got that down because I say it so much. I say it because it has to be, you have to give God glory on it. And it is. And you realize that we have enough money, if we were to pay for just one giveaway, it would cost that what we get for the whole year. And we give out 55 times as much as one of those giveaways. 55 times. I'm just grocery bags, not produce and all those extras. Do you realize that? Isn't that a miracle? I mean, it is so much fun to be in on something that shouldn't work. Because it just like to look at the people's faces and they say, how do you do this? I don't know, I say it. And I don't want to find out too much about it because if I get too deeply into it, I'll ruin it. It's just by faith. I don't examine every little thing that comes in here. Why are you getting me this car, Lord? What is your real motive? Huh? Of what faith are you? You are? I can't take your potatoes. You're of a different doctrine. I don't ask questions. If the food comes, it comes from God. Right? Huh? Look who saved Oral Roberts, to get that other millionaire. A guy that owned a track. Wouldn't that have been dumb to say, I'm not going to take your money. I don't care where you people get your money. Just put some of it in the collection plate, okay? Please. I'm just kidding. I meant some of it. Put it all in there. That's what I'm kidding about. Is there anyone here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 265. That was part two to self. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. If you missed part one, just go to Pastor Paul's blog, www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, the show notes, and scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us next Friday for episode 266, Hearts. Have a great week. God bless you. Don't forget to vote.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
It may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me
your jade. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.